You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
We're talking Giants baseball today with Chris Haft, our Giants reporter for MLB.com on this Thursday, October 26th. And today is the travel day for the 2017 World Series, coming off a pretty crazy game two on Wednesday night, which the Astros won in 11 innings, 7-6. And Chris, I want to get your opinion just on the game in general, because, you know, as I wake up this morning and I'm kind of getting a sense of, you know, buzz and hoopla from the fan base about how this was one of the greatest World Series games ever played, and it should be in that pantheon up there with, say, Game 7 of last year between the Indians and the Cubs. And my take on this is a little bit different. My take is that it was certainly entertaining. It was certainly fun to watch when the teams combined to hit 8 home runs, the most ever in a World Series game. But to me, it didn't have that traditional feel of what exciting baseball should be, because it seems like everybody is swinging for the fences. It felt like a home run derby competition as opposed to a traditional exciting baseball game. What's your take on that?
You know, Matt, I actually agree with you. People who are saying that this was one of the greatest World Series games ever know nothing about the history of the World Series. And I know it sounds a little harsh, but they just don't. They don't know anything about the Yankees and Dodgers in the 50s and the late 40s, you know, with Jackie Robinson stealing home and Yogi Berra, you know, screaming about it. They don't know about the 1975 World Series between the Reds and the Red Sox. They don't know anything about the 1991 World Series between the Twins and the Braves. I mean, those were all riveting. Seemed like those series were composed entirely of riveting games. You know, great pitchers' duels, you know, grudging scoring, but, you know, sometimes occasional slugfests. This, I guess you could say, is a slugfest, obviously, but and it was a good competitive game. It sure held my interest, I will admit that. But as far as being a classic, a real classic, it goes in the second or third tier.
Yeah, I certainly agree. And again, we're not trying to take away the fun and the entertainment value of the home run. I mean, when Yasiel Puig gets a hold of one, it's a sight to behold. When Jose Altuve, who's 5 foot nothing, gets a hold of one, that's a sight to behold. So there was a lot of excitement, you know, in that regard, certainly. But I just feel like, and again, as you said, you brought up three great examples from, you know, 75 and 91 and these truly great epic World Series. But for me, to go through an 11-inning game and not see a lick of, you know, great base running or tremendous defense or a great pitcher-batter duel, it to me just feels like it was very empty. And to further that point from my end, you know, to me, the most exciting play from Game 2, it was not a home run, it was a single. It was Kike Hernandez in the 10th inning when the Dodgers were down to their final strike. They had the tying run at second. Hernandez singles off Ken Giles, and Logan Forsythe, you know, running like he stole something, you know, has to score from second base. Yeah. And Josh Reddick made a great throw from right field, almost got him. But to me, that play had more elements of excitement than any of the eight home runs hit during Game 2.
That was true ball right there. True ball. That's really all I have to say.
Yeah, it was. And hopefully, I hope we see more of that going forward in Games 3, 4, and 5 at least, which will all take place at Houston as the series shifts now to Minute Maid Park. But, you know, again, it's great that there is buzz and discussion about the game, but I just feel like the attitude that it was this great epic game is a little bit misplaced, and I hope that we get back to more traditional, exciting baseball moving forward in the World Series. Chris, on the Giants' to-do list in the offseason, one of the things at the top of their list is to find a new pitching coach, Dave Righetti, who I believe had been the longest tenured pitching coach in the game at 18 years. Is that correct, before he was let go?
Yes.
18 yeah. years. I mean, that's an eternity in the game these days especially. But Rags is let go, and they're ushering in a new era with a new pitching coach in San Francisco. So, Chris, what are you hearing about potential candidates to replace Dave Righetti?
The Giants are good at keeping secrets, quite honestly, and I haven't heard a whole heck of a lot. They do want to go from outside the organization to get somebody, which also is kind of unusual. They tend to, get ex-Giants, but there may be a few. I think there are a few ex-Giants out there who have been poaching with other organizations. I floated a few names the other day just based on what guys I think they're looking for. I think they want guys who, obviously, they want guys who can relate to, you know, younger pitchers and maybe who have the aptitude to teach in this fastball crazy era. You know, who can adjust to that and maybe find some alternatives to it also. I mean, you need to have everything in a way to be a pitching coach. You've got to have those multifaceted skills. So I threw out a few names there. You know, Frank Viola, who is, you know, former Cy Young Award winner. He's been doing a great job with the with Mets pitchers. I mean, that's one. I doubt he'd move to the West Coast, but you never know. There's a lot of candidates out there.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see which direction the Giants go to fill the void left by Rigetti's departure. And, you know, I always, whenever a coach or even a manager gets dismissed, I always feel like there always has to be a fall guy for the shortcomings of a team, especially when that team had the shortcomings, the degree of which the Giants had them in 2017. You know, obviously, Bumgarner got hurt. Johnny Cueto had his ups and downs. There was a lot of, you know, turnover and injury issues within the pitching staff. And I feel like maybe some of that does fall on Rigetti for underperformance. But I think by and large, did it just feel like that somebody had to get blamed? And unfortunately, when you can't move players, you have to move a coach. And maybe Rigetti had to be the guy to fall on the sword. Is that kind of how it felt to you?
It's definitely how it felt to me. It felt like change for change's sake, especially with Rags. He's a guy who's done a great job during those 18 years, and it was unfortunate that it happened. This isn't the only coaching staff move. It's going to be a real scrambled bunch and a new group.
We'll see just how different this coaching staff looks under Bruce Bochy for the 2018 season as the Giants look to bounce back from a down year in 2017. Chris Haft, great stuff as always. We thank you for the time, and we'll do it again at this time next week. In the meantime, Matt Wehmeyer signing off for MLB.com Extras, San Francisco Giants.